Hi, friends. Welcome to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and I'm so glad you're with us for another episode with another extraordinary mom. If you're with us for the first time, I welcome you to this amazing community. As you'll see with this episode, as well as the previous ones, every week I interview a different extraordinary mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. No two extraordinary moms look the same, and I love that we can all celebrate each other for each other's strengths and learn from each other's weaknesses, learn from each other's hard things, and ultimately we realize we're not so alone in this job that is so very, very important, and we're all just doing the very best we can, but our own personal best isn't going to look the same as the mom standing next to us. But we can all learn from one another, and that is why I started this podcast. So thanks so much for tuning in. If you haven't already done so, you can head over to iTunes and click subscribe. That way, every time there's a new episode, it can get straight to you and you'll never miss a new Extraordinary Mom interview. Also, you can look back over our past interviews to see if there's any other ones that might be of interest to you or a friend. I would love it if you'd share this podcast with any other moms who you think might really benefit from these valuable, inspirational conversations. Today, I'm going to talk with Anna Quinlan. Anna is a mom to two little boys in California. She worked a corporate job for many, many years and then stayed at home for a few years with her two children. Then she started trying to kind of find herself again. She started working outside the home and pursuing her own passions and doing the things in her life that really brought her joy. And she noticed a big transformation in her motherhood as she found herself trying to be a little less controlling and a little more present and joy-filled with her children. It's a really great message that we can take care of ourselves and pursue our own passions and hobbies and not feel bad about that. You might feel like you are being dominated by the to-do list around your house, but this is a really encouraging interview that will help give you perspective on what you can do in your life to find more joy and to really become a better version of yourself. Enjoy my interview with Anna. All right. I'm so thrilled to be talking with Anna Quinlan today. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. I am from Southern California, and my Virginia weather is mimicking Southern California today, so I'm doing really good.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. I love the sunshine, and especially when you get the kids outside. That's a good day.
Yep.
So we have never met in person, but I was recommended that you'd be a perfect mom to have on the podcast by a friend. And the more that I learned about you, the more I totally agreed. So why don't you go ahead and just give a little background for our listeners on who you are. And we'll just go from there.
Sure. So I am a freelance writer. My professional background is really in sales and marketing. And then when my husband and I decided to grow our family, I took 2 years off completely to do the stay-at-home mom thing. And we had our first son, who's five now. His name's Louis. And then really shortly after he was born, we decided to adopt a second child through the foster system. Mm. So my youngest son, Noah, is three now. They're 19 months apart. And then when, after about 2 years as a full-time stay-at-home mom, I started to go a little crazy and felt like I was, you know, better suited to work outside the home, at least part-time. So I went back to work at that time as the director of marketing for a law firm, did that for a couple years, and have always loved writing. It's always been kind of a hobby and a side project that I did just for fun and on the side. And then in the last year or two, had more and more opportunities and projects come up, and just this past year decided to make the leap into pursuing that full time. So I do about half commercial copywriting, where clients hire me to write content for their website or their newsletter, and then about half editorial work, which is, you know, I would consider coffee and crumbs, which I think is how you came across my writing, as that kind of stuff. So more personal or more journalistic.
Yeah.
So about half and half doing that writing, and then I've got 3.5-year-old, 5-year-old boys at home. My husband, Shane, is a contractor, a general contractor, and we live in Sacramento, California, Northern California, which is actually where I was born and raised.
There's a lot to this. We could go in a lot of different directions with this conversation. You have a lot to offer. So tell me about your early days of motherhood. Go back to when you first had Louis. Tell me about those days and what you envisioned motherhood to be like and then how it actually was for you.
Yeah, that's such a great question, kind of the expectation versus the reality. And I think that my early days of motherhood, my story is actually different than a lot of moms. I'm pretty practical, pragmatic. my husband might call me a pessimist sometimes. I like to think of it as, you know, more of a realist sometimes. Yeah. And luckily for both of us, he's, you know, always chipper and upbeat. But we were married for 8 years before we had kids. And I, for the majority of that time, really enjoyed my career. We were living in Santa Barbara and had this really full, fun life, a great community of friends around us. And so I really was putting off having kids. I was enjoying my career, enjoying our time without kids, and had kind of built it up to, you know, it would be very dramatic to say that it would be the end of our lives, but I knew that it would be the end of a season and that it would be a lot of work. So I headed into it with kind of this idea that it's going to be really hard and change everything and pose all of these challenges. And then in contrast, really my first year of motherhood was kind of this honeymoon. The job that I was at just prior to having Louie was actually a job I was not very happy in at all. I had, it was just really high pressure. It was a high pressure sales job where I was, you know, sleeping with my phone under my pillow in case a sale came in the middle of the night so I could close it. And it was a lot of stress and I wasn't doing great personally as a result of that. So I quit that job to be a stay-at-home mom, which surprised me that I made that choice kind of, but I think the contrast of not having to be at that high pressure job and being at home, even at home with an infant, was kind of this breath of fresh air in contrast to that. And Louie, you know, to be fair, was a pretty easy baby. He was a decent sleeper, and we had moved back to Sacramento at that time, so I had some family help. My husband's a really hands-on dad, so I did have kind of an easy go, I think, looking at, you know, the logistics of it. But all that to say, really, that first year with him just felt like this honeymoon. I was obsessed with him. I was in love with the baby. I was so excited to not be at that terrible job anymore.
Yeah.
I had some great friends in town that were having babies around the same time as I am. So we, you know, with each of us just with one baby, we're able to really get together a lot. You know, that's changed now that everyone has multiple kids and they're in school and activities and whatever. It's harder. But so that first year was really great. And then once Louie got more mobile, and I think kind of the shine wore off of not being at work anymore, it kind of settled into more of a normal routine. And Louie, once he was mobile, I think I kind of paid the price of him being an easy baby. He's a very active, challenging toddler.
Yeah.
And then Noah came to us when Louie was only 19 months old. And so he's adopted through the foster system. We went through a long approval process, I guess, for that to happen. So we knew, you know, that we could get this call from a social worker at any time. But then all of a sudden you do get the call. So it was just seemed so sudden, you know, that I went from kind of starting to unravel a little at home with this one crazy toddler to then now I have a newborn as well. Noah was only 13 days old when we got the call.
Wow.
He was born prematurely. So we had to be, you know, we couldn't really take him in public a lot, and he had to be fed every 3 hours around the clock and a lot of doctor's appointments. And so really kind of around that mark, you know, I think the transition into two kids and all the circumstances that were surrounding that were really challenging for me. And then I started to miss the part of me that I felt was fulfilled by working outside the home. But I felt really conflicted at the same time too, because here I had this, you know, newborn that had a lot of needs, and I wanted to be present for him and really make sure that we established a strong connection and all of that. So I was able to be home full-time with Noah for the first 6 months and then went back to work just part-time. So that was a good fit for me to be part-time, kind of helped scratch that itch I think that I needed as someone who had invested a lot in the professional side of myself. But I still felt like I was able to spend the time with my kids that I needed to, I don't know, keep the mom guilt at bay and feel present for them in the way that I wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that. In episode 20, I talk with Andrea Williams, who is a small business owner, and she talks about that mom guilt, and she never pictured herself as a working mom, but as things have kind of unfolded in her business and kind of blown up, she's become a working mom. And she talks about how you have to really adjust that mindset. And just because you never pictured yourself working, or maybe you never pictured yourself at home, whatever you pictured for yourself, it doesn't always have to be that way. It's so important to always be reevaluating and say, okay, what's going to fill me up? What is going to make me the most happy so that in turn I can serve these children in the very best way? And it sounds like for you, by going away and working part-time, you came back filled up and it kind of, you know, fulfilled that need in your life so that when you were with the children, you were ready and happy and feeling fulfilled in that way. Is that true?
Absolutely. And not just work. I think that I also pursued some personal interests and hobbies that have fulfilled me as well. But absolutely, I feel like, you know, during that time, kind of right after Noah came, when I was really struggling to adjust to life with two kids and had been struggling a little bit prior, just as Louis was getting into that crazy toddler phase and, you know, everything that, I already kind of mentioned. I think that I wasn't really making myself a priority during that time at all. Obviously, the work of the two kids was very demanding. And I think that for me anyway, I was almost in this kind of vortex of feeling overwhelmed and maybe feeling, you know, a little bit sorry for myself, which I know sounds, I mean, I feel like a jerk saying that because here I had, it was such a privilege to be able to be at home. You know, not a lot of people have that opportunity that want to have that. And I had two healthy kids and a great husband. So I don't mean to sound like I took
that for granted. I'm sure a lot of moms are nodding right now. Like,
right.
but when you don't have adult conversation during the day, when you're like cleaning up Cheerios for the 17th time and, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. Like sometimes you just look around and you're like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing that stays done? And that's hard. That's really hard. And it's okay. I think we need to acknowledge, like, it's okay to feel like that because in any job, there are things you're not going to like about your job, you know, and there are things you're going to love about your job. And I think motherhood is absolutely no different than that.
Yeah. That's a really great way to frame it. I think just to think of it as a job that there, you know, it's okay for there to be parts of it that aren't your favorite and to kind of complain about. But yeah, when I was in that phase of it, I think that I kind of, as a result of maybe feeling a little sorry for myself or feeling a little bit like, you know, is this what my life has come to, all the mundane tasks of it, when I would let myself focus on that, I wasn't really making a proactive effort to fill myself up. You know, I was almost doing that martyr thing of just like, this is all there is. This is what it's come down to. And, and then once I finally kind of picked myself up from my bootstraps a little and got a little more proactive about paying attention to the effect that that was having on my marriage and on my family and, and myself, of course, and the decision that I did make to go back to work. And then in addition, kind of seek out some more, activities and endeavors that really fulfilled me personally, that really changed things around for me. And I think I was able to show up at home as a whole person with something to offer rather than, just be feeling kind of coming from a place of emotional need and emotional emptiness all the time.
100%. And this is not just for the listeners that are debating going back into the workplace. This is for the listeners that want to continue to be stay-at-home moms, but have been neglecting the part of themselves that is, you know, pursuing their passions and their hobbies and the things that fill them up, even in the context of staying in the home as a full-time parent.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of moms, you know, with the best of intentions, put themselves last, you know, that there's so much pressure to do it all, whatever it all looks like in your life. You know, for me, I enjoy the opportunity to work outside the home. I know that's not the fit for everybody. And I think, you know, maybe even especially sometimes for moms that are at home full time. I know I felt this way when I was home full time. There's just this Pinterest, you know, world that we're in now where it's like, what's the theme of your kid's birthday party going to be? It's like, the theme is going to be birthday. The theme is going to be you are turning three and there will be cupcakes and that will be enough to make you excited.
Yep.
So I just think we can put so much pressure on
the
work of motherhood and the work of keeping a home running that we forget that it's okay to want to play and want to have fun ourselves, totally ourselves outside of all of that. And for me, that was really dangerous territory to be there and not focusing on myself in that way. And there was a real ripple effect that that needed to be turned around.
100%. And that's what we want to focus on upon today, how we can choose joy and seeking joy in our daily life, whatever that looks like personally for you, and choosing that over necessarily checking everything off of your to-do list every day. Because I just had a really kind of hard conversation with my husband last night about how I was kind of snapping at the kids by the end of the day because, you know, I felt like the house was a wreck. And one of my sons was like, "Oh, Mom, come see my tower." And I'm like, "I can't come see your tower because I'm cleaning up after you. I'm doing the dishes. And he kind of just called me on it in a nice way and was just like, "I could care less if the dishes are not done. I could care less if the house is a disaster." He's like trying to extend an olive branch to you to make that connection with you. And if you shoot him down, that's gonna sting. And it's way more important to tend to the things that are of actual value than the things that could be done later or not done at all for that matter. But sometimes we put too much weight on those to-dos and less upon the relationships and the tone we speak in and the fun of life. I miss that sometimes just because I'm too caught up. So that's what we want to talk about today. So once you got back to work and you started recognizing that you needed to do more things to fill yourself up, what kinds of things did you choose to do? And what did you notice about the changes that happened in your life because of that, both personally in your marriage, as well as your relationship with your kids?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a lot of questions.
I think making time for my own hobbies as well. So for me, the two that I really, that have been consistent in my life and that I had maybe put on hold for a bit, but chose to focus on again, were writing and being active. You know, I majored in kinesiology in college. I grew up playing soccer. I've always been really active, although not necessarily any good, not a gifted athlete, but, you know, it's something that I enjoy. And pursuing that from a place of just hobby, I guess, and fun, rather than, you know, after Louis was born, I gained 50 pounds when I was pregnant with Louis. It took me a long time to lose that weight, and I had a hard time struggling through some body image stuff during that time. And so I had been, you know, active, but kind of from a place of beating myself up, or, you know, in a place of just looking at the scale and wanting to fit back into those clothes. And
we've all been there.
Right. We've all been there. Like part and parcel of motherhood, I feel like these days.
But, and even if you liked exercise before, when you're trying to fit back in your skinny jeans, it's not fun.
No.
At that moment, by any means. Yeah. Been there.
So kind of switching my perspective on that and just being active from a place of what sounds fun. What do I want to do?
Yeah.
You know, do I want to go for a trail run today? Do I want to go to a boot camp class today, or, you know, yoga, whatever it is, rather than, you know, counting calories and focusing on it from that. So that was something that just kind of turned something on its head, and made the choice to I guess focus the time and energy that I was investing in that activity to come from a different place mentally with it, a place of, this is a gift that I'm giving myself. This is my therapy for myself. This is, you know, for fun. This is an activity that is for fun. Not a chore, not a checkbox or whatever.
That's really interesting that it's the same activity, but the way you approached it mentally changed the whole thing for you.
Totally.
Interesting. I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, I think it almost for me, you know, going back to, I am kind of pragmatic and can be a little bit type A. And I think one of the things that I enjoy about being active and, you know, fitness is I think using my physical body to accomplish things that are challenging for me helps translate into an ability to think of myself as mentally strong. And when things are hard, you know, that are not physical, when hard choices need to be made, or just the endurance that it takes to be a mom, you know, the mental endurance of staying patient, and, you know, not maybe raising our voice or losing our temper or cleaning up the Cheerios for the 27th time that day, you know, whatever, all that kind of stuff I view as kind of this endurance challenge, I guess. And so that's something I think that really helped me feel more like my best self, my true self. And then I just started writing more and more, which, you know, eventually led to leaving my job and pursuing writing full time. But again, writing for me, it just is something about my mental place. You know, when I'm wanting to be writing, I'm looking at the world through the lens of where are the good stories. And you know, not just being, I don't know, kind of seeing a bigger meaning in things, or seeing my role as a character in a story that's unfolding, rather than just the mom or the hired help, you know, which it can feel like sometimes, but to realize that we're all playing this part in this great story, and the more that I write, the more that I see the world around me from that perspective, which is helpful for me.
Yeah, and writing can be so therapeutic. You don't have to be a gifted writer in order for that to really serve you well as a form of like documentation for your family history and your family stories, or just for fun, whatever it is. I think writing is a really powerful tool. So for you, exercise and writing have been really pivotal in filling you up. What would you recommend to the listeners that may feel so entrenched in motherhood right now, where all they can see for their hobbies is like doing dishes and doing laundry and, right, you know, playing Legos? How would you recommend they kind of get to that place where they can really identify themselves as a woman or as a person and kind of reconnect with what it is they really are passionate about and what they really love to do?
For other moms, I might just encourage them to think through, you know, what did you do for fun before you had kids or before you were married or whatever, when you had more time, more energy. And I know that that's where it can get a little tricky, because I think that some moms really just legitimately do not have the time or the energy.
Yeah.
For myself personally, there was a time when I would have said that, when I would have said, I don't even have the energy to do this. At the end of the day, all I want to do is collapse on the couch and watch Netflix. That's all I can even muster. Yeah. But for me, there was this moment of kind of, you know, like I said, the vortex of almost like the less, you know, you're in this hard place and you can only see more hard place. But the converse of that was true for me. Once I kind of forced myself to dig deep and find the energy to pursue something for myself, it pays me back. You know, that energy that I've spent investing in myself is really like an investment. And I find that those activities end up giving me more energy, mm-hmm. Rather than deplete me. You know, I've very rarely collapsed on the couch and watched something on Netflix, and at the end of that been like, that was time so well spent. I feel so much better about myself and the world around me right now. I mean, maybe there's some shows, but in general, that's not how that routine goes.
Yeah.
But when I, you know, maybe fight the urge to just veg out or do nothing and instead decide to dig deep and muster the energy to do something that's, speaks more to my true interests and what typically fills me up, I always find that kind of pays me back in spades, I guess, fills me up. And then the next day or the next week or whatever, I have more there to continue to invest in myself.
Yeah, I totally agree. People always ask, how do you have time to do this podcast? Because I have three little kids. I have a baby still. You know, it is really time consuming. And I always say, literally, I've swapped out like Netflix time or other just like idle time where I'm just kind of wasting my discretionary time. I just swap that out for doing this thing that is so life-giving to me.
Right.
Like, if I were talking about something I wasn't passionate about, I probably wouldn't feel as energized by it or want to spend as much time on it. But I just feel like for me right now in the season that I'm in, I was desperate to feel like I was contributing to the motherhood conversation and that I was empowering other women and that I could like learn some new skills. I mean, I'm not a tech person, so this has been a whole new ballgame for me. The conversations I'm having, super fun, love it. But then the whole editing aspect, I'm just like, whoa, can I do this? Can I figure out the website? But you know what? I proved to myself I can. I had an idea and I went for it and I made time for it because it was important to me. And it has been so life-giving to me. And for all the time that I'm spending pondering motherhood, I will only be a better mother because of it. When you can find a passion that you can really dig deep into that will fill you up and, you know, help you to offer more to your children, those are the things you need to be investing in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is so hard because we're doing so much. But yeah, I think making ourselves a priority, and I, you know, to speak to your point of kind of learning the editing side of it.
Yeah.
I think that there's so much value in, I guess learning a new skill, but just kind of tackling things that are hard,
yeah,
that are maybe a little intimidating and challenging. And certainly I do that a lot, in my active life. You know, last year, my New Year's resolution was to do one race every month. So I did, you know, a couple, whatever, triathlons and half marathons, nothing super, super crazy, but, and, you know, each race was really challenging for me. And I think that, but then I'd come through on the other side, and that gave me so much confidence and was so empowering and, you know, so life-giving, like you were saying.
Yeah.
That, and it really translated into other areas of my life. And again, I know being active is something that I'm drawn to. That's not for everybody, but yeah. I love to hear other examples of somebody kind of, you know, putting themselves in a situation to tackle something that is intimidating or challenging or feels that it's beyond their reach or beyond their skill set.
Yes.
But just putting one foot in front of the other and figuring it out and doing it and coming out on the other side. And I think that that becomes, you know, it gives us so much, it's so self-empowering, or has been for me anyways, and really has this ripple effect in my life of kind of like, oh, I'm stronger than I thought I was, or I'm a little more capable than I thought I was, you know, going back to that season when I was really having a hard time and still kind of figuring a lot of it out. I mean, I'm still figuring a lot of it out, but I was having a pretty acute hard time, you know, with the transition to two kids and struggling with the decision to go back to work. And in that time, I was really like nagging my husband all the time and snapping at my kids when the house was a mess. And I think I really kind of was grasping at straws for a sense of control and for a sense of power in my life, and was focusing on things so stupid, like the house being a mess. And it was, you know, I think there was almost this subconscious thought of, if I can make this house perfect and clean, then I'll be, things will feel calm and happy, and I'll have controlled that and it will be good. And I was insufferable, you know, my poor husband, nagging him all the time, and my poor kids, like, they're little kids. Of course they're not cleaning up after themselves, and I'm snapping at them. And I see now how much that was, you know, I was grasping for something that really those people in that context, it is not their job to give me that, you know, that's not the dynamics of a healthy family. And then as I was able to feel more fulfilled out, you know, which for me happened to be outside of my family, fulfilled by my work and fulfilled by my activities and my hobbies and the things that I was doing on my own to speak to my own interests as just an individual and as a woman, I just started caring a lot less if the house was messy or if dinner was perfect or whatever, because I think those intrinsic needs for a sense of identity and, and a sense of purpose, those were being met in other ways. And it didn't matter to me if my husband left his clothes on the floor or whatever. I didn't see that as a slap in the face that he didn't respect me, you know, which of course he respects me. He's just tired at the end of the day and maybe a little lazy every now and then, like we all are. So it really, for me, having that sense of identity and wholeness has been really great, I think, for my role with our family.
Yeah. And it's going to look different for everybody. I mean, there's definitely seasons where self-care may not be able to indulge in as much, you know, time-wise as you might like to. And that's just the reality. But realize that it will come again. And you can always find ways. It doesn't have to be long periods of time where you are away from the children necessarily, but little pockets of time where, oh my gosh, I haven't read a book in 5 years. What happened to my life? You may be in that situation. Find a book you're passionate about and block out 15 minutes while the kids are doing something, you know, playing independently. Sit there on the couch and read a book if that's going to fill you up. Give yourself that permission to find ways to incorporate that self-care in the season that you're at, because it's going to look different depending upon the ages of your kids, what's going on in the family dynamics, work, you know, things like that. But it is possible to incorporate that in all seasons. It just might look differently.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Tell me how it looked different after you started prioritizing joy in your life and prioritizing activities that were really life-giving to you. Tell me how that affected your relationship with your children.
I like to think that I'm just maybe a more fun mom now because my need for control in the house has gone down. And I'm going to have trouble articulating that. And again, I guess it just all kind of comes back to that operating from a place of feeling full versus operating from a place of feeling empty. And for me, when I was feeling empty, it manifested itself in a lot of negativity for me, you know, wanting, kind of searching for anything to get that fullness. So
yeah,
it's wanting the kids to play exactly how I think that they're going to play, which kids never do. You buy them the toy and they play with the package, or, you know, you like spend this time setting up this craft activity and all they want to do is something different. And I think just as my kids would not really meet expectations or situations wouldn't look how I wanted them to look, it was so frustrating for me. And now that I feel more of a sense of personal identity and feel like just, you know, happier and more full and a stronger sense of who I am, I'm able to let things go a lot more easily. You know, it doesn't matter to me if the house is messy. It doesn't matter if the kids destroy the toy that I thought they were going to love or whatever, because I think there's some distance now between that as an exact reflection of my personal identity.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. I mean, if you envision yourself as a gas tank, when you're running on fumes and that gauge is getting low, it's like you're stressed. And you're and you are just like on the verge of get me to a gas station, you know, and you're about just to lose it. And I think we can do the same thing as moms. And I think you can look at the same exact situation and you can laugh about it or you can cry about it so many times, you know. You can lose your mind when your kids are, you know, have every cushion from every chair and couch piled in the living room and you're just like, why are they taking off the cushions again? It's going to be so hard to put back. I mean, I don't know why I hate putting back cushions so much, but I do. I just detest it. But they love building forts. They love jumping on them. Is it really hurting anybody? No. So why am I harping on that thing?
Right.
You know, and it's like, if I just viewed that as, wow, they're having fun, why don't I jump on the cushions? They would probably think that was the coolest thing ever if I just hopped on there with them or we added a blanket here or there. I can choose. I can choose how I view that situation. Nothing's different, but I just choose how I approach it. And so I think what you're saying is when you came from a place of a full gas tank, you could view it a little more easily, like, the cushions are on the ground. Look at them having fun versus like, ah, the cushions.
Right. I think, yeah, having just maybe that healthy separation, you know, of kind of like they're doing what they're doing and that's fine. And, you know, we'll clean it up afterwards or whatever, rather than feeling totally like enmeshed in it as it's unfolding.
For sure. And I think so many times we view self-care as selfish. And I think this is perfect evidence of you taking time for taking care of yourself. There's plenty of evidence to show you are a better mom and a happier mom and a more patient mom and more, dare I say, more extraordinary mom, because you are doing the things that you know will manifest themselves in the best way possible to your children.
I hope so. I mean, that's all very generous, the way that you're describing it. I don't want to be too quick to claim all of that. But
no, but it sounds, but the comparison between kind of the mom you were before and the picture of that mom that was, you know, shorter to lose it and to be more critical and controlling, no doubt you would choose the mom you are today versus that prior self. But you're also including like way more time and energy to build yourself up, which is like mutually beneficial to everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah, it certainly has been for our family.
That's wonderful. That's so great. So what do you think you're teaching your children by modeling this lifestyle to them?
One thing that I hope I'm teaching them just as a result of some of the ways that I invest in myself is a sense of adventure and a sense of bravery. You know, like as I'm training for a marathon right now and trying to talk to my kids about that, and that this is hard and it's challenging, but I'm strong. Some of the things that are most life-giving for me are really fun and adventurous types of things. That's kind of how I'm wired. So for me to be pursuing those things, I hope, you know, of course I would love for my kids to share in my interests. I am, you know, so excited for the day I can teach them how to surf and whatever. So I'm hoping that I'm imparting some of that on them.
That's a great message. And touching upon what you said about including them in your interests, taking care of yourself and pursuing your own passions does not have to be done in isolation. It can be a great way to connect with your spouse by doing something you both mutually enjoy and pursuing a project or a hobby together. And when you can bring your kids into that, I see that with my husband all the time. He loves playing soccer and he doesn't just have to go off and play on a team by himself. He plays soccer in the front yard with the kids every single night. And they have so much fun. And it's not just him doing it to, you know, be nice to the kids. They're genuinely having fun with each other. And so when you can find an activity that feeds your soul and, you know, just brings that fun and that life and that joy back to you, but you're also including your children in that, they can sense that and they can feel that, and they'll learn to love those things too. So whether it's healthy eating or exercise or hiking or surfing or reading, whatever it is that is your passion, you can share that with your children and see if they kind of take to that. And then you may not feel quite as like, okay, mom needs, you know, 7 hours to go run to prepare for her marathon, you know. Yeah. Bring them along on a run in the stroller if you can, or, you know, do those things that incorporate them in you pursuing what matters to you.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of just on the brink of that in our family. My oldest
it's hard
is
when they're young. It's so hard.
When they're young, I feel like we're finally at a place now where we're like, I'm just getting that taste of, instead of it always being like, okay, we're going to do this kid activity during the day, you know, we're going to go to the zoo or whatever, which, like, realistically, my husband and I are never going to go to the zoo, just the two of us, because we think that that's fun. You know, that is something we are doing for the kids.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, and then we'll get a babysitter, you know, in the evening to do this thing that's fun for us.
Yeah.
I feel like we're, you know, my five-year-old, I'm teaching him how to ski this winter. So I've taken him up a couple times, and it's like so fun that he's finally old enough to kind of be brought into the fold of some of the things that I would do for myself for fun. And I'm excited to, as they get a little bit older, to enter into that season more.
I know. I always see my friends who are a little bit ahead of me and have older kids, and I just think that is so exciting, seeing these family pictures on the ski slopes, and they're all skiing, or they're all sitting successfully at a restaurant, or they're all, you know, all these little things you're just like, am I ever going to get there?
From the restaurant.
I know, right? It feels like you're never going to get there, but you will. Anna, I just love your perspective, and I think you have such a valuable message to share, and you share it so beautifully. Obviously, you are a talented writer because you speak as beautifully as you write.
Well, thank you.
So because you are a writer, I'm sure you have some great book recommendations or things that you're loving. What are you telling your girlfriends about these days, or what are some things you're enjoying personally? So you're training for a marathon. Which is fabulous.
I'm running a marathon, which I'm in way over my head. I'm running a marathon to help raise money for the charity Every Mother Counts, which is a charity that was actually founded by Christy Turlington, and the aim is to make pregnancy and childbirth safe for every mother everywhere. So they work internationally to help increase the number and effectiveness of midwives, and then they work nationally here in America to help with especially women in impoverished areas that have, you know, reduced access to prenatal care. So, and I actually, my most recent essay on coffee and crumbs is about that. It's called The Hardest Mile.
That's awesome.
Because I'm running to honor my youngest son, Noah, who came to us through adoption. I'm running to honor his birth mom. She had to walk a mile after he was born to drop him off at the hospital. She is homeless rurally. So I'm running 26 miles to in some way feel connected to her and that mile that she walked.
Whoa, I have chills. That, whew, can you imagine? I mean, you may think 26 miles is hard, but imagine walking even a mile after you've given birth and knowing what you're about to do. Whew.
Right, yeah. It's crazy. Something I don't know that I'll ever really be able to get my mind around fully. And, but this, you know, I've touched on the fact that I'm kind of like practical and operate in the real world. So this is my like physical attempt at honoring her and feeling connected to her. So
that's really special.
Yeah, it's been really special. It's going to be a really emotional marathon for sure. I'm going to be a complete train wreck at the end of that thing for every reason.
For every reason, yes. For sure. Wow.
But let's see, things that I'm reading now. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts actually while I've been running.
What are some of your favorites?
So I like Elizabeth Gilbert, who she's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And then this past year, she wrote a book called Big Magic.
I'm reading it right now. Amazing.
So
love it.
The subtitle is Creative Living Beyond Fear. So, she's a writer. So obviously she's speaking from the perspective of a writer. But I think the book is really intended for anyone who has wanted to kind of work up the courage to pursue something that could be seen as creative work, to take some risk or put yourself out there in some way. And I loved that book. I feel like I need to like Golden Gate Bridge read it, meaning, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge, as soon as they finish painting it on one end, they start over at the beginning because the elements take their toll on the paint so quickly. I feel like that's a book that as soon as I finish it, I should just start over and just be on a constant loop. I read that book like 1 month before I quit my job. I knew I was going to quit the job and hadn't given my notice yet. And that book was kind of like the final pep talk I needed for that. So,
yeah.
And she has a podcast, Elizabeth Gilbert, called Magic Lessons. That's really interesting. So I like that podcast a lot. And then I've done a couple books on tape. I just did Mindy Kaling's Why Not Me?
Yes, I just read that as well.
Yeah.
She's so such a fun writer.
Funny. Yeah, and I read her first book as well, which was called Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me and Other Concerns? So definitely liked those books a lot.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, what is next for you? You said that you're training for the marathon, which is a big deal. Anything else coming up in this next year?
More and more writing. You know, I'm still kind of finding the groove a little. It's really only been 3 months since I've been doing this full time. So, and I'm so fortunate to have had enough work to make that possible and be busy. It really is like a dream come true to me. I kind of sort of have a baby infant idea in the back of my mind for a book idea one day and kind of starting to tease that out maybe, but that's probably a many year project. So just finding my voice, finding the sweet spot in it all.
Yeah. Sometimes the unknown can feel so daunting and scary and like you don't want to face it, but isn't it nice to be able to approach the future, like it sounds like you are, with great hope in that expectation that it can be anything. We don't know what it's going to look like necessarily, but there's just endless possibilities for the future.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's crazy. I'm naturally not a big risk taker at all. I've always played it safe. I've had like a real deal corporate job from the moment I graduated college.
Yeah. You
know, the decision to quit the corporate world and go out on my own just felt so impossible to me. You know, I felt like that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm not a risk taker and we need the insurance
And you felt the same way about motherhood.
Yeah, that's it. So
you know?
My husband and I talked about that. He was like, do you not see, like, this is your move. Your move is to, like, expect the worst and then
be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. He's like, so just know, like, it's okay if you're expecting the worst. That's how you are. But that doesn't mean that's how it's going to pan out for you. You have to have the courage to take the step anyway. So, and I'm so glad.
So I always ask my guests one final question. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh, I don't know. I'd pet myself on the hair and kiss myself on the top of the head and just say, oh, bless your heart, sweetheart. I'm not sure my pre-mom self would listen to a word that I would tell myself now. So stubborn. I wouldn't, again, I'm not in the advice giving business, not even to my pre-mom self. I think I would just give her a kiss on the top of the head and tell her, bless your heart.
It's all gonna be okay. Just sit with that.
Yep. I don't know how this story ends either, but
I like
just
that.
One foot in front of the other.
I like that. That is a perfect way to end. Anna, thank you so much for sharing your motherhood journey. And I feel like there's so many other avenues we could have gone down in your story. So maybe we'll get to have you on again. Hopefully this has been an encouragement to the listeners to really identify for themselves what would bring them joy today. And maybe to let the dishes sit in the sink a little bit longer and pursue that thing that will fill them up. Thank you so much, Anna. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me, you too.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank Anna for coming on the show today. I hope you enjoyed our conversation and you really got to thinking, what is it that lights me up? What would fill me up that I could do today, even if I am at home with the children? What could I do today? Could I pick up a book? Could I try a new recipe? Could I walk or run around the block? What could I do that would fill me up, that would really fill my gas tank so that I had more energy and positivity with my children? And that is really the goal. That's why we want to take good care of ourselves so that we can be the best mom possible for our children. So thanks, Anna, for that perspective. It really got me thinking about what I want to do. But I must say, doing this podcast really fills me up. So it's a treat to get to bring this to you every week, and that is my passion project right now. So I hope everyone has a great week. As always, you can find out more information about today's guest and more resources in the show notes section on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram, JessicaDahlquist3, and on our Facebook page, Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Everyone have a great day, and I will see you next week. Bye.